Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 3 June 2025, Zechariah.
All right, there's an announcement before we get started. There will be a teachers meeting. This is for BibEd, all BibEd teachers. Teachers meeting tonight after class. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our class tonight is going to be centered on Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which presents God's judgment on anti-Semitism. You see, Israel and the Jewish people, they are the apple of God's eye. And any nation, any Gentile nation that attacks, kills, tries to destroy Israel and the Jewish people, God will judge that people, judge those nations. Guaranteed, absolute. And you know what? That's where we are right now in America. There's never been more anti-Semitism in America than right now. God said, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. Our nation is full of anti-Semitism. Universities of higher learning? No, universities of terrorism. That's what's going on in universities. what President Trump did with Harvard. You could do with Harvard. You could do with the entire Ivy League. You could do with universities all over America. You could do it to USC, UCLA, Oregon, University of Washington. Aha. Don't worry. Rain is a blessing in the desert. See, Satan didn't even like me getting on this. No. All over America, universities are anti-Semitic. They're training in anti-Semitism, training in terrorism. Anti-Semitism in America is at an all-time high. In Washington, D.C., a gunman kills Jews for being Jews. He seems to see murder as just another political statement. Like joining a protest march or shouting slogans. In the present environment, it should not surprise us when a supporter of Hamas uses the methods of Hamas. What happened to respect for life? In growing numbers across the globe, it has been aborted. And then we have Boulder, Colorado. A man attacks Jews with a homemade flamethrower. He's killed at least one. And it gets worse and worse in America. There is great judgment coming to America because of anti-Semitism. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And all throughout this land, we are hotbeds of anti-Semitism. We're right in the next two verses, God's judgment on anti-Semitism. The May, June, Israel, My Glory. Great article by Timothy Rabinek. Why anti-Semitism has been skyrocketing since October 7th. In their book, Why the Jews? The Reason for Anti-Semitism. Authors Dennis Prager and Joseph Telushkin state, quote, hatred of the Jew has been humanity's greatest hatred. While hatred of other groups has always existed, no hatred has been as universal, as deep, or as permanent as anti-Semitism. I would add that hatred of the Jewish people is also illogical and must be understood as a spiritual conflict. Spiritual conflict. We see this truth clearly through the tragedy of October 7th, 2023. The most significant and brutal exposure of anti-Semitism since the Holocaust. The logical reaction to such horrible suffering should be empathy and support for Israel in its fight against terrorism. Yet, October 7th triggered the opposite response. Hostility toward Israel, as well as prejudices, falsifications, and contradictions that obscure the facts rather than expose the truth. Christians who support Israel also face increasing pressure and opposition that challenges a biblically literal interpretation of Israel's distinct role in God's plan for human redemption. While we can and should bless Israel, it is crucial to recognize that our struggle is part of a broader spiritual conflict described in the Bible. Hostility toward Israel is hostility toward God. Hostility toward the living and true God. Hostility toward Israel is the fruit of hostility toward God. It reflects opposition to God's sovereign choice and is not merely typical international animosity. To dismiss anti-Semitism as just another ethnic conflict is to profoundly misunderstand the nature of what is arguably the greatest spiritual battle manifesting itself in our physical world today. This is the dead center of the angelic conflict. From the outset, the Bible reveals that behind the hostility toward Israel lies a pivotal conflict concerning the fate of and dominion over all creation. Satan's attempt to win the angelic conflict. The unfolding drama of world redemption, realized through history, hinges on Israel's role as the chosen people, destined to bring forth the Messiah, the son of David, the promised descendant. Jesus was born a Jew in Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophetic declaration found in the Holy Scriptures and entering into the lineage of the Messianic line. This connection integrates him into the entire narrative of God's chosen people. Satan is an asshole. And he thought he could shut this down. My God is infinitely greater than the shithead Satan. I knew when I got to this class tonight, and I knew. Now rain is a blessing in the desert, but this is bullshit. This is the angelic conflict. But any other pastor said, "Oh, well, if we have no light, you can all go home now." No. I mean, you can go home if you want to. I couldn't even tell if anybody was out there or not. But the story does not end there. Israel's history will climax triumphantly, as foretold by the prophet Zechariah, when someday the feet of the Lord Jesus, the victorious Messiah, the Son of David, will touch down on the Mount of Olives, and he will vanquish all the enemy forces encircling Jerusalem and destroy all those who are trying to destroy the Jewish people. Israel's return to its land and the world's opposition to Israel signify that we stand at a critical juncture in God's resolution of this conflict. Living in such a unique moment on God's timeline of history is a privilege and a great responsibility. It is a privilege because we can witness Israel's presence in the land as God gathers his people from all corners of the earth, as the prophet Ezekiel foretold in Ezekiel 34:11-14. But it is also a tremendous responsibility because we have limited time to warn people not to make the deadly mistake of joining the opposition against God and against his chosen nation, Israel. Well, thank you, Heavenly Father, turning the lights back on. All right. Well, this is what we're studying. Zechariah 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, we are in that series. God gave Zechariah 8 visions communicating tremendous amount of Bible doctrine. And those 8 visions are seen in Zechariah 1, 7 through chapter 6, verse 15. We studied the first 2 visions in chapter 1, the red horse rider and the 4 horns and 4 horn cutters. Now we're in chapter 2 and vision number 3. And vision number 3 is the vision of the surveyor. And God gave Zechariah 4 promises in this third vision. Promise number 1. The promise of prosperity in verse 4. And said to him, run, speak to that young man. Young man is Zechariah. Saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited as towns without walls because of the great multitude of men and livestock in the midst of it. Phenomenal economic prosperity. Great prosperity. That's the promise of verse 4. Promise number 2 is the promise of protection, verse 5. For I myself, declares the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be a wall of fire around her, Jerusalem. Great protection. Thing is, God will always have a wall of fire around the Jewish people and Israel, always. They are the apple of His eye. They are His chosen people. He has made four unconditional covenants. Four unconditional covenants. Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenant. They will be fulfilled to the Jewish people. The remnant. At the end of the tribulation, there will be a great remnant that will recognize Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They will believe in Him and they will be rescued by Jesus Christ. And those few believers, not just Jews, there will be Gentile believers as well, will go into the millennial kingdom. Believers only. Very small amount at the beginning. And that's when God will fulfill the four unconditional covenants to the Jewish people, to Israel, Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. They will be fulfilled. God will always have a wall of fire around Israel and the Jewish people. And we have all of these. And by the way, anti-Semitism is a misnomer. There's about 20 Arab nations that are Semitic too. They're all sons of Shem. So anti-Semitism is a misnomer. The anti-Semitism applies to Israel and Jews only, even though there are a lot of people who are a lot of Arab nations that are Semitic peoples. And these people today, it is their objective to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. They've stated it again and again and again. Hamas states that. Hezbollah states that. Iran declares that. To destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. That's their objective. It will never happen. However, there are Semitic nations that the Bible says will be no more from judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we're going downhill so fast in America. Well, we are a clan nation of God right now, but we're going downhill so fast, and wouldn't you see and look at just read every day what's going on in anti-Semitism. It's in all of the universities around the country. We're living on the edge of the volcano. And we're right next to the fifth cycle of national discipline. And God will use evil one to destroy evil two, and we're evil two. And He can use any of a number of nations, this evil one, to destroy us. Now we're still here, so there's hope. But that hope means, well, I don't see it. It's where Christians put spiritual priorities number one. Spiritual priorities, number one. God, number one. Bible doctrine, number one. And I don't see it. Everybody's got a million and one things that are more important than face-to-face Bible teaching. Unless there is a change of mental attitude, judgment's coming to America. And we have it coming. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. But the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. But what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. So now we have come to promise number 4, judgment on anti-Semitism. God's judgment on anti-Semitism. The nations who have plundered and destroyed Israel and the Jewish people, they will come under divine judgment. All right, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts. That's the King James Version. Of course, you now by now in our Tuesday night class studying these Hebrew books, you know when you see thus saith the Lord of hosts, you understand this is Jehovah Tsevaoth. This is the Lord of the armies. So we have the conjunction ki plus the demonstrative adverb ko plus the cal perfect of the verb amer plus the tetragrammaton, Jehovah, plus the plural of the noun tsava, and the plural is tsevaoth. The conjunction ki K-I, key is a causal conjunction, correctly translated, because, and then the demonstrative adverb ko, ko is correctly translated thus, and then the major verb of communication in the Hebrew, amer. Aleph, A-M-A-R, amer. And that's the verb to say, to communicate. And then the holiest name for God in the Hebrew scriptures, the tetragrammaton. YHWH, holiest name in the Hebrew scriptures for God. So holy that the Orthodox Jews would never pronounce it. Instead, every time they saw, and you pronounce it Yahweh, they never said that. They read Adonai, because the name was too holy. And then Tsava, T-S-A-B-A, Aleph, Tsava. Tsava is the noun that means army or war or warfare. It comes from the verb tsava, which means to wage war. And we have it, the noun, in the plural. And the plural is tsevaoth. So this is Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. So, because thus says the Lord of the armies. That's the great title when you're getting ready to communicate divine judgment on anti-Semitism. Because thus says the Lord of the armies, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. There's nothing like the King James Version, is there? This is acher plus the noun kavod plus the cal perfect of shalak with the first person singular suffix plus the preposition el joined by a makef to goyim, with the definite article, and these are the ha-goyim, that are going to be judged by God, plus the collective participle of shalal, plus the preposition eth, with the second person plural masculine suffix. The adverb acher looks like that. Aleph, A-C-H-A-R. Acher. And acher is correctly translated after. And then we have kavod. K-A-B, long O-D, kavod. And first of all, kavod means abundance or riches. Abundance or riches. Secondly, it means honor or splendor. Third, it means glory. Glory, dignity of position. This is the glory of the Messiah. This is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, in Zechariah, the first priority is, number one, is spiritual priority. The number one issue for them coming back into the land, to Jerusalem, number one is to build the temple. Rebuild the temple. Spiritual priorities take precedence over everything else. And now when they came back, they started to... started to rebuild the temple, they put the foundation in. Foundation stopped. And they did nothing for 16 years. They did nothing on rebuilding the temple. There was a mountain of opposition, and the mountain of opposition was from Satan. He didn't want them to rebuild the temple. He wanted them to... No, he didn't want them to worship the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory. They rebuild the temple. Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, will dwell there in their midst in the Holy of Holies. And they will be worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, and putting spiritual priorities number one. Well, they put the foundation in, and then Satan shut them down. Shut them down. For 16 years. And not only was Zechariah great prophet, communicator of doctrine to these people that came back, but so was Haggai. And Haggai, just a short book, Haggai spent all of his time chewing their butt out. What are you people doing? You've all built yourselves big, nice houses, got nice yards in there, you got a swimming pool, you got all these things. Where's the temple? Where's the temple? Spiritual priorities number one. All you have your eyes on is the details of life. Oh, you make sure you got your house built. You make sure you got your yard and all of these things. Fancy, nice garage, place for all of your donkeys. What about the temple? Your details of life are more important to you than spiritual priorities. And that characterizes America right to the core. That characterizes Christians in America right to the core. Details of life are way more important than spiritual priorities. So Haggai just chewed them out. Oh, wait till this is chapter 4. I'm in chapter 4. Can you tell I'm in chapter 4? That's chapter 4. Oh, we'll take a look at Haggai. I like Haggai. Some of you call it Haggai. I don't know where you get Haggai, but Haggai. So the glory here is the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's emphasizing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his first and second advents. And then we have Shalak. S-H-A-L-A-C-H. Shalak. And Shalak is the verb to send with the first person singular suffix. He, God the Father, sent me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then El Hagoyim, to the nations, to the Gentile nations. And then Hashalim Elkem, that have plundered you. So the corrected translation sounds like this. Because thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, He, God the Father, sent me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, after glory, the glory of our Lord in His first and second advents, to the nations that have plundered you, that have been trying to destroy you with anti-Semitism. And then he adds, For he that toucheth you, those people that touch you, Jews, Israel, toucheth the apple of his eye. This is the conjunction ki plus the catalactic participle of naga, plus the preposition beth with the second person plural masculine suffix, plus the catalactic participle of naga repeated, plus the noun baba with the noun ayin with the third person singular masculine suffix. Well, we have our old friend Ki again. K long I. Ki is causal conjunction. Again, it's correctly translated, because. And then we have a verb that's repeated twice in this clause, naga. N-A-G-A-I-N. Naga. All right, a couple of things on this verb. Literally, naga means to touch or to strike, to reach, to touch, to reach, to strike. That's literally. Two, figuratively, naga means to strike, to abuse, to harm. To strike, to abuse, to harm. This is anti-Semitism. This is hatred of the Jewish people. This is hatred of the Jewish nation. Three, the Chaldeans abused the power that God gave them to administer the fifth cycle of discipline on Israel. The Chaldeans were evil one that came in and administered the fifth cycle of discipline on evil two. the southern kingdom Judah in total apostasy and degeneracy. And they had one of the greatest Bible teachers of all time, Jeremiah, and they never listened to him. They never listened to him. Jeremiah, phenomenal Bible teacher. In fact, they made fun of him. They threw him in a pit. They tried to destroy him. They rejected everything he taught. The Chaldeans abused the power that God gave them to administer the fifth cycle of discipline on Israel. 4. However, the Persians did not abuse the power that God gave them. You see, the Chaldeans were wiped out one night. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. The handwriting on the wall. And that handwriting on the wall, that was it. You're done. And the Persians totally destroyed the Chaldean Empire. And the Jewish remnant was now in Medo-Persia. But Cyrus became a believer in Jesus Christ. Not just a believer, but a great believer. Darius became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a great believer. There was a large pivot of mature believers in the Persian Empire at this time. And both Cyrus gave a decree for the remnant of Jews, go back to your homeland, go back to Jerusalem. And the main thing he wanted them to do, rebuild the temple so that the Shekinah glory, the living and true God, will be there dwelling in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Rebuild the temple. That was what he wanted done. Darius, the exact same thing. So point 4, however, the Persians did not abuse the power that God gave them. 5, there was a spiritual revival in Persia. And therefore, they allowed the Jews to return to their land. A lot of difference between Persia and Iran. A lot of difference between Iran at this point in the Bible and Iran today. There was a spiritual revival in Persia, and they allowed the Jews to return to their land and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Primarily, they wanted them to build the temple first. And then we have Bochem, and Bochem is the Jewish people, you, the Jewish people. And then we have the verb naga repeated. Touches, strikes, harms, abuses, repeated. And then we have beth, the preposition beth, plus babat, Anu, the apple of his eye. So the corrected translation, because thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, he, God the Father, sent me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, after glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his first and second advent, to the nations that have plundered you, because whoever strikes, harms, abuses, touches you, the Jewish people, strikes, harms, abuses, and touches the apple of his eye, the apple of God's eye. This is just as true today. Just as true today as it was in Zechariah's day. And look at all of these people that are touching who are striking, harming, abusing the Jewish people. They are striking, harming, abusing the apple of God's eye, the living and true God eye. So, one, the apple of God's eye is an anthropomorphism. You know this because God is spirit, doesn't have an eye. The apple of God's eye is an anthropomorphism for the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. Our God is a holy God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God's holiness is his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Two, what the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. Three, what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. And he very clearly stated in the Abrahamic covenant, right at the beginning, Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. Four, the nations who strike down, abuse, and harm the Jews will come under divine judgment. Judgment from the justice of God. The nations who strike down, abuse, and harm the Jewish people will come under divine judgment. Divine judgment from the justice of God. That phrase, the apple of God's eye, is an anthropomorphism because God doesn't have an eye. Point five. However, we have eyes. I see all of you. You all have eyes. We have eyes. And the apple of our eyes is the pupil. The pupil is the apple of our eyes. You say, well, why did you put that point in there? Thank you for asking. Point six. The pupil of the eye is one of the most protected parts of the human body. Our eye, we have bone structure of the face is all around to protect the eye. Bone structure. You have brows. You have eyelashes. You have eyelids. You have tear ducts. You have all of these things to protect our pupil of our eye. The Jewish people, Israel, are the pupil of the living and true God's eyes. They are protected. God protects them. He has a plan for Israel. No one will ever. Satan is trying to destroy. If he can destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, if he can destroy the nation Israel, he wins the angelic conflict. He wins the angelic conflict. God can't fulfill the four unconditional covenants because there's no Jewish people. And he's trying his damnedest to destroy the Jewish people, the nation Israel, right now. And anti-Semitism worldwide is at all-time high. All-time. But it will get even greater following the rapture of the church. In 7-year tribulation period, the Antichrist will come on the scene. The King of the North will come down. Russia, not the Ukraine, Russia. Russia will come down, allied with Iran, come down from the north and try to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. The kings of the East, communist China, will come. The pan-Arabic bloc, all the Arab peoples from the south will try to destroy. They're all coming. The Antichrist and the revived Roman Empire, they all come for what? What is Satan trying to do? Win the angelic conflict. We can already see it. We can already see it right now. But it will hit high gear in the tribulation period. 7. Therefore, the apple of God's eye, or the pupil of God's eye, is an anthropomorphism that puts a spotlight on God's protection of the Jewish people. Puts the spotlight on God's protection of the Jewish people. Turn over to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, starting at verse 9. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. For the Lord's portion is His people, the Jewish people, Jacob, His allotted inheritance. In a desert land He found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of His eye. He guarded him as the apple of His eye. Turn over to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. This is the Psalm of David. Spiritually mature believer David. King David. Starting at verse 6, I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, virtue love, you who save by your right hand, the right hand of His righteousness. Those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me, guard me, as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wing from the reversionists who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. All right. So, verse 8 again. Because thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, He, God the Father, sent me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, after glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in His first and second advent, to the nations, the Hagoyim, that have plundered you, because whoever strikes, harms, abuses, touches you, the Jewish people, strikes, harms, abuses, and touches the apple of His eye. Verse 9, for behold, I will shake mine hand upon them. This is the conjunction key with the demonstrative particle hine, with the first person singular suffix, plus the hifil participle of nuf, plus the direct object marker f, joined by a makef to the noun Yod, with the first person singular suffix, plus the preposition al with the third person plural masculine suffix. The conjunction key, it's about the third time we've had it now, is a causal conjunction and may be translated because the demonstrative particle hene, we've had this many times, you probably know it better than I do. H-I-N-N-E-H, hene. And hene means behold, or certainly, or surely, but with the first person singular suffix, it says, behold I, certainly I, surely I. And then we have the verb noof. N long U P H noof. Literally, point one, literally noof means to move to and fro or to wave. To move to and fro or to wave. Two, then it means to shake the hand, to shake or brandish against someone. It means to punch someone. It means to raise your hand in judgment. So then it came to mean to shake the hand, to shake or brandish against someone, to punch someone, to raise your hand in judgment. Three, this is God's punishment and judgment on the enemies of Israel and the Jewish people. This is God's punishment and judgment on the enemies of Israel and the Jewish people. And then we have my hand, Eth Yadi, Alehem against them. So, for certainly I, for surely I, for behold, I will raise my hand in judgment against them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. I gotta go a little bit into spoil. So we'll stop right here. This is a great place to stop. For behold, I will raise my hand in judgment against them, these Gentile nations that are, well, they are striking, harming, abusing, touching you, the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye. Well, He will raise His hand in judgment against them. We'll start right there. next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us. And may from this we develop the greatest love and respect, Father, for who and what you are, your amazing essence. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.